Welcome to the podcast. Today, Rachel, we're diving into a book that has certainly stirred the waters within Catholic circles, The Disastrous Pontificate, Pope Francis's Rupture from the Magisterium by Dominic J. Grigio. This book, interestingly published anonymously, presents a deeply critical analysis of Pope Francis's papacy, alleging a significant break from traditional Catholic doctrine. It even draws on Cardinal George Pell's Demos Memorandum, which famously described the pontificate as a catastrophe. Rachel, what is the core thesis of Grigio's work, especially considering the context provided by figures like Cardinal Pell?
Grigio's central argument is that Pope Francis has systematically introduced innovative doctrines and actions that contradict the perennial teachings and practices of the Catholic Church. The book meticulously compares Pope Francis's statements and deeds against sacred scripture, sacred tradition, and the magisterium, concluding that his pontificate from 2013 to 2025 has generated widespread confusion and rupture. It's an unflinching catalog, as Michael Cirilla describes it, of manifold errors touching nearly every domain of faith and morals.
That's a very strong accusation. The introduction to The Disastrous Pontificate emphasizes the profound joy and reverence Catholics traditionally hold for the Pope as the Vicar of Christ. How does the book reconcile this traditional veneration with its claim of a disastrous pontificate?
The book delves into the nature of papal authority, drawing heavily from the First and Second Vatican Councils. It clarifies that the Holy Spirit is promised to the successors of St. Peter not to reveal new doctrine, but to faithfully guard and expound the revelation handed down through the apostles, which is the deposit of faith. Grigio argues that a breakdown occurs when a pope introduces innovative doctrines or distorts the Word of God to promote an ideological agenda. This sets up the framework for critiquing actions that, according to the book, deviate from this core mandate.
So it's about the limits of papal authority, even with the charism of infallibility. But how does the book explain the possibility of a pope teaching error, given the Church's teaching on papal indefectibility? Specifically, where does it draw the line between infallible pronouncements and potential error?
Grigio addresses this through what he calls the Petrine dichotomy of rock and Satan, referencing Christ's rebuke of Peter as Satan immediately after calling him rock. St. Augustine's exegesis is key here. Peter is rock-like when expressing God's truth, but a stumbling block when following human thinking. This dichotomy, the book suggests, has played out in papal history, with individual popes sometimes becoming a scandal because of what they themselves are as men. The concept of two bodies of the pope is also introduced, distinguishing the body of the man who is pope from the body of the vicar of Christ, implying that not all papal statements carry the same magisterial weight, especially those made in private conversation or non-authoritative documents.
That's a fascinating way to frame it. Let's look at some of the specific doctrinal areas where Grigio alleges rupture. In anthropology, the book critiques Pope Francis's concept of infinite dignity. How does this diverge from traditional teaching?
The book argues that Pope Francis's teaching, particularly in Dignitas Infinita, that every human person possesses an infinite dignity that can never be annulled by any circumstance, mistakenly bestows a divine attribute on man. Traditional teaching, confirmed by the First Vatican Council, states that infinity is an attribute possessed solely by God. Furthermore, by ignoring the doctrine of original sin and fallen man's concupiscent nature, Grigio argues Pope Francis presents a view reminiscent of Neo-Pelagianism, where man's ontological nature remains pristine despite sin, rather than being changed for the worse, as the Council of Trent stated.
Another area of contention is Christology. The Disastrous Pontificate highlights Pope Francis's reported comments to Eugenio Scalfari, where he allegedly denied the divinity of Jesus Christ at the Incarnation. How serious is this accusation, and what's the traditional response?
This is one of the gravest allegations. According to Scalfari's accounts, Pope Francis suggested Jesus ceased to be a god and became a man until his death on the cross, only to become God again at the resurrection. This is a canonic Christology, condemned by Pope Pius XII as a wicked invention because it imagines divinity being taken away from the Word in Christ. The Church, through councils like Chalcedon, explicitly defines Christ as perfect in divinity and perfect in humanity, with two natures united in one divine person, without confusion, no change, no division, no separation. The book emphasizes that Jesus was always true God and true man.
Moving to ecclesiology, the book details Pope Francis's criticism of a monolithic body of doctrine and obsessing with the past. What's the traditional counterargument to this idea, especially regarding the preservation of doctrine?
Grigio contends that Pope Francis undermines the apostolic nature of the Church by dismissing the importance of guarding and transmitting the body of doctrine as an obsession with the past or a museum piece. The book counters that sacred scripture and councils like Vatican I emphasize that the Church's apostolicity is intrinsically linked to preserving the deposit of faith and maintaining the same doctrine, the same sense, and the same understanding across generations. To reject this, as Pope St. Pius X warned of modernists, is to diminish the force and falsify the character of tradition, risking turning the Church into something closed to the Holy Spirit, which is contrary to its very nature.
Let's turn to eschatology. The book claims Pope Francis has expressed an erroneous belief in annihilationism and the denial of the necessity of faith for salvation. What are the implications of these claims based on the source material cited?
Scolfari reported Pope Francis stating, "Unrepentant souls disappear rather than suffering eternal punishment in hell," and that if an atheist has loved others, they will be welcomed by the Father regardless of faith. This directly contradicts the Council of Trent's teaching that the justification of an adult is not possible without faith, and that the souls of those who die in the condition of personal grievous sin enter hell, a punishment that is eternal. The book underscores that such views diminish the gravity of sin and undermine the salvific necessity of Christ and the Church.
This leads directly into evangelization, where Pope Francis often condemns proselytism. How does the book view this stance in light of Church teaching on the Great Commission?
Pope Francis has repeatedly stated it's wrong to seek to convert others to Catholicism, especially non-Christians, equating such efforts with proselytism that takes your freedom away. Grigio argues this is gravely erroneous. Sacred Scripture, particularly Christ's Great Commission in Matthew 28, commands the apostles to make disciples of all nations. The Church has always understood this as a mandate to proclaim the gospel and call for conversion. Pope St. Paul VI, for instance, explicitly stated that proposing the gospel is more than the evangelizer's right, it is his duty, and that God can accomplish salvation in whomsoever he wishes. But if his Son came, it was precisely in order to reveal to us the ordinary paths of salvation. The book highlights the danger of indifferentism, which treats all religions as equally valid paths to God, directly contradicting foundational Christian truths.
The book also dedicates significant attention to the suppression of the traditional Latin Mass under Pope Francis, specifically through Traditionis Custodis. What are the key criticisms here?
Grigio argues that Pope Francis's motu proprio Traditionis Custodis effectively abrogated Pope Benedict XVI's Summorum Pontificum, declaring the Novus Ordo Mass as the unique expression of the Lex Orandi of the Roman Rite. This is seen as a radical rupture with centuries of tradition. The book and its cited sources maintain that the traditional Latin Mass, never officially abrogated, should be honored for its venerable and ancient usage. Critics, including Cardinal Gerhard Müller, view the restrictions as unjust and ideological, asserting that the unity of the Church does not require sterile uniformity, and that resisting the former liturgy, as Cardinal Arthur Roche stated, is something that is really quite serious.
Finally, let's touch on homosexuality, a highly sensitive area where Pope Francis's statements have generated much controversy. What are the book's main points of critique regarding his stance on this issue, including the blessings?
The book details how Pope Francis has, through various statements, softened the Church's traditional condemnation of homosexual acts. It cites his alleged comments like, "God made you like this and loves you like this," and the controversial Fiducia Supplicans declaration, which allows blessings for same-sex couples, albeit non-liturgically. Grigio argues this is a radical rupture. The book refers to the Pontifical Biblical Commission's report requested by Pope Francis, which reinterpreted the sin of Sodom as a lack of hospitality rather than homosexual acts. This, the book states, contradicts sacred scripture's explicit condemnation of homosexual acts as abomination in Leviticus and shameful affections in Romans. It also directly challenges the Catechism's classification of homosexual acts as acts of grave depravity, which under no circumstances can be approved. Bishops, particularly in Africa, have strongly rejected the blessings, emphasizing fidelity to God's word over cultural adaptation, citing that such acts are intrinsically disordered and sinful, and thus cannot be blessed without causing confusion and scandal.
Rachel, this has been an incredibly detailed overview of the disastrous pontificate. It's clear that the book paints a picture of a papacy in deep tension with historical Catholic doctrine and practice across a wide array of issues, from anthropology to eschatology. Thank you for shedding light on these complex arguments.
Thank you, Jake. It's a challenging but crucial discussion for those trying to navigate the current landscape of the Catholic Church.